Okay, my own evolution of value proposition. This will take another minute or two. Then I'm going to give you an exercise. We'll open up the lines, and we'll get some hands-on work done. When I first got started about 10, 11 years ago as a consultant, not knowing what the heck I was doing, in all honesty, looking back. So my tagline is, we are an asset on your balance sheet. We are an asset on your balance sheet. Now, that is rather vague, right? That doesn't hit any of the tests, right? No coffee cup, nothing. No coffee cup, no why. There's no specificity. There's nothing there. And it didn't do anything for me, I have to tell you. The next one in the evolution was, I help companies make difficult strategic decisions and then get things done. And that's also a flop. It sounded good to me because at the time I thought that everything should have the word strategic in it. I was trying to get work doing strategy. And it sounded right to me, but none of the clients that I wanted would ever sit down with a friend for a cup of coffee and say, you know, I need help making difficult strategic decisions and getting things done. Maybe on rare occasion, but as you saw how we peeled off the layers before, there was always something much more to the core, and that's what we need to uncover. Then I used, I help people clarify and focus and get control. Clarify, arrow, focus, arrow, control. Clarity leads to focus, which leads to control. Now, that's very clever, but again, it doesn't make it easy for anybody to know what I can do for them. The next one was, help you build a focused business where everybody in your company is working together to achieve a clear, common goal. Sounds very nice, but fails the test. Another version of that was a clear, exciting direction for your company with everyone unified behind a common goal. Fails the test. Here's another one. Dove Gordon helps small company CEOs build such loyal employees and lifelong, Dove Gordon helps small company CEOs build such loyal employees and lifelong customers that even their competitors enviously spread their renown. That's nice, but it's all about me. It's not about the client that I want. It's what I can do. I build such loyal employees, lifelong customers. There's too much there. There's too much there. It's not going to zero in on the one problem that's uppermost in anybody's mind. Next was, I help your company become irresistible to the customers that you really want. I help your company become irresistible to the customers that you really want. Again, it failed the test. See, there might be someone who would say, we need to become irresistible, but people just don't talk that way. The next iteration was, I help companies who are tired of B-grade customers to attract AAA-grade customers. Now, that's kind of wordy. It's a mouthful, and it failed the test. I think we're getting closer. You can see that. We're getting much more focused. We're getting narrower. So it's much more, we're zeroing in on something, but we're still not there yet. That evolved to a slight improvement, which is helping companies avoid B-grade customers and attract AAA customers instead. And then we moved to, I help disillusioned and frustrated small business owners to recapture the joy, the thrill, and the freedom of entrepreneurship. And I do that. I do help disillusioned and frustrated small business owners to recapture the joy, the thrill, and the freedom of entrepreneurship, but it fails all the tests. And finally, I got to what I use today, which is, I help you attract more quality customers in less time. Notice how simple that is. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but it works. It's working. People want more customers, and they want to get those customers in less time. They don't want to be running around in circles, and it opens up the doors. Now, that's the main section here. Let me give you now an exercise, and we're going to start building your value proposition. Then we're going to open up the lines, and if we have some volunteers, people who are willing to step up and get some coaching live on the call, then that will be a benefit for you and for everybody else. Just remember, this is being recorded, so you may just want to use your first name. Here's the exercise, okay? Remember, what we're trying to do is to get to fill in the recipe, to follow the recipe, but of course, it's a template, and you need to have that understanding, so let's work on that. The recipe, again, is, I want to use the precise words, so where is it? Here it is. We help blank the type of person or business who has this blank problem to get a specific desired result. So what I want you to ask, take a minute now, write out the answers to this question, because we need to fill in the blank with the kind of problem that you help people. So make a list of all the problems that your ideal customers have, and be specific. Make a list of all the problems that your ideal customers have. and be specific. The next question is, what are the desired results that your customers have? What do they most want? What do they want most of all in the area that you can help them, of course, right? So make a list of the results that they want. And again, you want to be specific. Okay. So now you have a beginning of a list of problems that you help them solve and results that you help them achieve. And now what we need to do is we need to run these through the coffee cup test, the why test, and the is it observable, can you see it test. So what I'd like to do is, if you'd like some help right now on that, press *6 and speak up, and I will do it. You know, we'll get started. We'll do some work. And my plan is to spend another 10 to 20 minutes on this, and then we'll call it a day. So I want to go through a few examples, give you like a little bit of direction, and then we'll call it a day. So press *6 if you'd like some help, anybody?
Dove?
Yes.
This is Hugh. How are you?
Hi, Hugh. How are you?
Well, I'm nervous about speaking up, but I decided that I had to do that.
Okay. So what are some of the problems that you help your clients achieve?
One of the problems that I'm working with right now is hiring a new CEO. And I work with boards of directors of financial institutions.
Okay. And you want to be able to talk about what you do in a way that gets more interest and gets more attention and interest, right?
Correct.
Okay. So one thing is hiring a new CEO. What else? Is it only that, or are there other things?
The other part of the problem is that the boards are typically volunteer boards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not the most educated in the realm of recruiting a new CEO.
Okay. Now, those are your problems, right? We're looking for the problems that your ideal client has.
I actually have a board chair who's saying, I've got a board of directors. They're all volunteers, so that means they don't want to invest a lot of time.
Uh-huh, got it.
And they don't really know how to do this work, and yet we're still responsible for hiring a new CEO.
Okay, so the chair is essentially your client or your primary client decision maker?
Correct.
Okay, so the chair is saying, we got to hire a new CEO, and we don't have people who are capable of really doing this, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So let's take a step out of a specific project that you're working on, okay? Because right now, like, you're in the project, right? So you know exactly what this guy wants. What we want to do is we could do this, but let me just think out loud with you. The question is, now when you're at some kind of event and you're talking to somebody else who could be a potential client, or you're writing an article on a certain topic, it's what do you write about, right? How do you phrase it as a problem that's going to attract the right kind of person's attention, right?
Yes.
So what would that problem be?
This is why I was nervous. The number one problem.
Take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. It's just us and 10,000 others.
The number one issue that I deal with is miscommunication in the workforce.
Miscommunication in the workforce. Okay.
That people say one thing, they mean something else, and that creates confused priorities and poor leadership effectiveness.
Poor what?
Leadership effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And miscommunication in the workforce. This is good. This will help us. We can peel this off. So you help people. You help companies where there's miscommunication in the workforce. And I'll ask you, you know, why is that important? So what? And you'll say because it creates confused priorities. So now let's peel another layer here. So what? So you have confused priorities. So what? And you're playing the role of your ideal client.
So we have no alignment. We have a lack of synergy, and we're not achieving our strategic goals.
Okay. Let's now we may have CEOs sitting over a cup of coffee and saying, you know, we don't have alignment, we don't have synergy, but it doesn't pass the other test of can you see it, can you observe it, right?
Right.
So what would we see if we didn't have? How do we know that there's no alignment? What would we observe that would tell us there's no alignment? There's no synergy.
And that's a good question.
Okay, take your time.
We would see a lot of CYA. We would see people taking no responsibility for their decisions and how it affects the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we see emails going back and forth to people with no resolution.
Aha, okay. So that's pretty specific. Emails going back and forth with no resolution. How do we know there's no resolution? What will we see that would tell us there's no resolution?
Because the same problem keeps on coming up and being discussed over and over and over again.
Okay, there we go. So the same problem keeps on coming up and is being discussed over and over again. And your potential client, the CEO, has had enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does he care that the same problem keeps on coming up over and over again? What does that mean to him?
Because without a resolution to those problems, that's costing me money.
It's costing him money. And so what? It's costing him money. What about him personally? How does it affect his life, his job, the way he...
He's getting involved in minutia. He's getting involved in doing day-to-day management when he should be in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he's involved in minutia because decisions, you know, people are discussing and never making a real decision. I think that's how you said it before, something along those lines, right?
Yeah, right.
So he has to get involved in these details to help them make a decision, right?
Yeah.
Instead of being involved in leadership. So the problem that he has is that, like, if we were to describe this problem, if he was sitting down with a friend for a cup of coffee, he's probably talking like this. He's like, I just, you know, I'm just tired of this. I had enough. Again, I had to, you know, go down two layers, you know, to solve this or that, to get these guys to just make a decision. They're going in circles. They seem incapable of taking responsibility. Nobody wants to take a risk. Everyone's afraid of it. And I'm just, you know, I mean, man, you hear what I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like where they might be? Right. So
yeah.
I just had enough. Well, okay. So we've just described his problem pretty well. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may need some polishing and so on. But the problem, in a nutshell, is the problem is that too much of your time is involved in making decisions that other people should be making. And the reason that's a problem is because it takes you away from the leadership role that you really want to be playing. Now let's look at that. That's the most desired result. That's the other side of the coin, but we haven't yet clarified what that looks like. So what does it look like when this CEO is playing that leadership role at the level that he really wants? What does that look like?
It looks like he's dealing with the important issues as opposed to the urgent ones. He's thinking strategically. He's thinking about growing the business, not fixing the business.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to understand what would we observe differently, right? So today we see that he's just constantly reacting to crises and to pressures. What he really wants is he wants to be in a place where, you know, he can disappear for days working on the long-term pieces of the business, and he can feel good about disappearing because he knows that the people that are working there are taking care of things and don't need him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you know, we're doing this, you know, in a role play, but I think we're getting close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does this feel right?
It does. And, you know, one of the things, Dov, is that I realized that what it would be beneficial is to actually go and interview some of my past customers and some of my prospects to really get mm-hmm. clear about what some of the problems are. In mm-hmm. their words, not in my words.
Yeah. Well, I see you. I see you got yourself a copy of the package, and we have a great simple process for interviewing people in the manual there, and I'll be happy to help you master that.
That'd be great.
So, first of all, thank you for that.
So, what is helpful for me is to see the framework and to understand, okay, this is what I need to be able to do, and I haven't been able to articulate this well, so that's what I'm going to work on, and so this is exciting. I want to get really good at this.
Yeah, it's. I used to be bad as well. There's hope.
Dove?
Okay. Yeah, so first of all, Hugh, thank you very much. Hugh, let's take one more. Who is speaking up?
This is Hava.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank God. So I'm the one that's frustrated, too. I'm mm-hmm. another one. Trying to help communicators who, it would be like speakers, writers, trainers, you know, all these kinds of people who fear they're not delivering the message that they're capable of, get so clear and succinct that their audience, while they're talking, creates a to-do list and at the end runs out and mobilizes people to join them in getting a task done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like
so let's look at the template, okay?
Okay.
And let's begin with that, and then we'll peel off layers, okay?
Okay.
So, let's see here. So, what did you answer for what we've been calling the recipe?
Okay, so we help would be, the person I help is a lot of kinds of people, but I summarized it by saying communicators. I don't know if that's good enough. But there are speakers, writers, trainers, nonprofit executives, politicians, these kinds of people, but they're leadership communicate. They speak about leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay, finish the sentence, and then we'll tackle the whole thing.
All right, then. So who has the problem? The problem that they have is they fear or they're driven, but they fear they're not delivering the message that they're capable of or that their audience needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they want to get so clear and so succinct that their audience creates a to-do list during his speech, and when the speech is over, they run out and they lead or mobilize people to join them in completing an undone task, a task that needs to be done.
Okay, very good. So the last part is very specific, but it depends on the first part, and therefore I'm not sure it's going to stand, okay? I don't know. But
what do you
as
mean
you
by
said
first
at the
second part?
Well, we'll come to it, when it right?
Oh,
we'll come
okay.
to it.
Okay.
So, as you said at the very beginning, I help communicators. The people that you listed don't think of themselves first and foremost as communicators.
For sure, right.
So politicians, I forget the other ones that you mentioned, that just stuck out, right? So people don't think of themselves first and foremost as communicators. So you really need to to zero in and say, like, who is it? Pick one. It doesn't mean that you can't help other kinds afterwards, but to be able to talk about what you do in a way that attracts interest, attention and interest, you need to be specific about who you're helping.
Okay. So I used to say leadership speakers and writers and trainers.
Okay. Let's for the sake of argument, just to help you out here, let's pick politicians, okay?
Okay.
Because you mentioned them. And it's very specific. It could be even more specific. It could be municipal-level politicians, you know, the low level or the high level, right? Let's just say municipal-level politicians.
Yeah, like Rahm Emanuel now.
Okay. So what him or perhaps, although I doubt he feels he has a problem that you could solve. So let's not...
Right, no, that was just a joke.
Yeah, I know. So let's keep in mind those who... Or it could be people who have lost a recent election.
Right.
They're likely to have a problem that you can solve, right? So what problem does let's say a junior politician have that you can help solve?
Okay. Now, basically, I just brainstorm with them. I don't tell them what to say. Obviously, I can't get clear myself, but I just tell him how clear it is what they're saying. So I help them get clear and succinct.
Okay. So the problem that...
And give a full message, yeah. Clear, succinct, and give a full message, yeah, the problem.
So what problem are you helping them solve through that? Let's visit this person. He's sitting over a cup of coffee or a beer one night after a hard day, and he's talking to a friend, and he's saying, what does he say?
He says, I just can't get my message across.
I just can't get my message
across. I can't
across.
Get people to okay. hear my message or whatever.
Yeah, okay, that was very good. I guess I just can't get my message across, or people aren't hearing my message, right? I think I just can't get my message across is probably more likely the way you'd say it.
Uh-huh.
Probably, but, you know, don't know for sure. Now, okay, so that passes the cup of coffee test, but why is it important that you get your message across?
Well, it's important because then they'll do what I need them to do if I get it across.
Mm-hmm. So who's they?
They, the politician. The politician will
Other
get...
politicians, voters... Community activists,
they get
right?
The voters, right. The voters to vote for them.
Right. So I just can't get my message across. And why does that matter? Who cares? Well, why do you care? Because I'm unable to get others to do certain things, right? Okay?
Yes.
Now, can you tell me what are some specific types of things he would want to see others do for him?
For him? Let's say he's in office now. I'd rather not just say get them to vote because I don't want to apply to other people. So
okay.
Let's say he's in office and he is open to help. He wants people to help him get things done. He wants people to line up and lead with him and give
mm-hmm.
him ideas. So he
right.
wants to give the right message that energizes the population to help him.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important? And to have other people lining up and taking responsibility for certain things and volunteering, and why is that important?
Because he can't do it all himself, and plus he needs to be cutting ribbons and, you know, showing up at places. He has to be
mm-hmm.
a lot of places.
Okay, so he can't do it all himself, right? The problem is that he's doing too much himself, right?
Yes.
So what he really wants, what does he really want? You know, once he's able to get his message across, what will it look like? What will be different?
People would line up to help.
Okay, and what would we see? So people are lining up to help. People are volunteering. People are changing their mind. I think what you said is better. People are lining up to volunteer, to take on certain projects or so on, right?
Yes, to take on projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And why is that important to him? What does that free him up to do? How does that feel for him?
Okay. It frees him up to be visible, you know, instead of behind the scenes doing the details. It frees him up to be seen and to be seen as the person he wants to be seen as, the leader that he needs to be seen as.
Mm-hmm. And how does he want to be seen?
He wants to be seen as the... as somebody in control, somebody who has what the city needs, somebody who can get the job, who can fix education, who can
mm-hmm.
let's see, fix that. What else does he want to do? Fix education. I don't really want to work for Rahm Emanuel, by the way.
Someone who can actually make a change, who can initiate something and then carry it through to where it becomes legislation or so on, right?
Yes.
So someone can initiate and then execute and see his ideas, right? See his ideas turn into law.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back to the template, right? The value proposition template, the recipe. And let's see if we can improve it. I'm not sure we're completely there yet, but let's see if we've improved it. So I help where did I put this?
Municipal level politicians.
I help politicians or municipal level politicians who are not getting the kinds of support and the kinds of support that they need from community activists and other politicians in order to push their ideas from concept through to past legislation. Do you see how we did this?
Let's see.
Now, I'm not saying that's the choice you should make. I'm not saying to choose politicians. I am trying to say, though, that, you know, when you tell that to somebody, they can say, wow, how do you do that?
Yeah, I'll have to figure that out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind. Okay, but who are not getting the support they need to push through their ideas to legislation, something like that.
Some concept to legislation, yeah.
Uh-huh. I can see
how that's
clear.
Or to pass legislation, you know? Okay? Was that helpful?
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, that lets me see what it looks like to be clear.
Okay, great. So you're already a member of the forums. You can follow up through on the forums.
Thank you.
Thank you for volunteering.
Okay.
So we'll take one more. We'll take one more. Is there anybody else who wants to volunteer? You can press *6.
Joe?
Yes, who's this?
Aaron.
Aaron, how are you?
Thank God, doing good.
Okay.
This might be a little bit different than everybody else. I'm sure you know that.
Everybody thinks they're different.
Oh, everybody is different.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. smaller business. Anyway, what I'm having a very hard time narrowing down a specific problem because of the difference in the different types of clients.
Okay, so let's tell everybody what you do. What do you do?
Interior design.
Interior design, okay.
Yes, in Israel, niche market, work specifically with English speakers. Not only, but that's the majority of the customers.
Okay.
What I found when I made my list of problems and of results, that the majority of what they're looking for is not actually what I provide for them. Meaning their problems have a lot more to do with the actual renovation process, let's say, than with the design.
Okay, so let's start with something you came up with. Let's start and see where it takes us. Okay. What did you come up with? What is the recipe? What's your value proposition? We help.
Okay. I didn't write it out. I just have the whole list of everything. But
okay. So give me an example of a problem. Just tell me two or three problems.
Okay. Problem list: people who are very often they're scared of renovation. They want to buy an apartment or don't want to buy an apartment. They're unsure, but they don't know if they can get what they want in terms of the renovation, so they need help deciding if it makes sense for them. They could be worried, very often they're worried about the cost of renovation and overruns, headaches, dealing with the whole thing. The results which they want have more to do with design. They want a nice apartment. They want, again, no overruns, which is overlap. They want to feel comfortable, like their apartment. Very often they want to be proud of the apartment. I mean, they want their friends to come and see it and say, oh, that looks nice. They want to make sure they have room for all their things because generally it's smaller than what they're used to. And a different type of client, some of the results is they're looking to save money. That's specifically when they're buying new construction.
Okay, so we have here they want to buy, but they don't know if they can actually renovate in a way. Okay, so let's break that down because I heard a few things. Number one, there's they don't know if they can afford it. That's one problem. Another problem is they don't know if it's maybe they can afford it, but when they think about the possible things that can go wrong with such a project, they hesitate.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So I heard those two things so far. Those are two specific problems. And they're two specific customers, really. Okay?
It could be the same, but it
also could be different.
Yeah. It's two different customers. There are two different stages. Some customers are actually they don't own anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're the ones who are unsure whether or not what the possible purchase, if it fits them or not, meaning they know they don't
mm-hmm.
like it the way it is. They don't know if they're going to like it after it's changed or can it be changed.
Okay. So
then the people
yeah.
that don't know if they have enough money, I don't work for.
Okay. Fine. So let's talk about the other kind or two kinds that they don't know if they can actually make the changes that they want to get the results that they want.
Okay.
So that's their concern. Their problem is, listen, I really want this in a house or an apartment, and I'm just not sure whether, the real estate agent tells me we can do this or that. I'm just not sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run this through the tests. Okay. Is that the kind of thing that they would, does it meet the coffee cup test? I think so. It's probably reasonable that people would say, might talk about something like that. Why is it important that you need to, why is it important that you need to be able to make these changes?
Why is it important?
Again,
it's in a sense, it's a given. It means that they found an apartment apartment, house, whatever it is, everything they like. That means location. It could be the building. It could be that it's near friends. It could be anything else like that. But the actual inside of everything is just not up to their standards. Generally, it's probably run down. It's been a long time since anything has been done with it. Room sizes are generally going to be wrong. Plus, they're, in general, just...
Right.
Meaning, even with all of the things, let's say it was all of that was perfectly new, they just don't like the way it was done because it's out of style.
Okay.
And
how does that? And they, the problem is that they really want to move. Why do they want to move?
Oh, okay. Well, so that I didn't. It's not. They may want. It's not that they want to move. Usually, they're interested in purchasing the apartment. In order to, maybe they don't own, meaning they could possibly be renting something now and they want to purchase. Or they are moving, meaning they're moving for, it could be work, it could be social, it could be whatever, but they're definitely going
right.
to move.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving countries, for example.
Okay. Well, let me give you some direction here, and I just looking at the clock. We're gonna have to wrap it up. And again, you can ask me some more on the forums. Here's I'm also gonna use this as an opportunity to explain something that I sort of touched on or alluded to, but may not have made completely clear. So we'll mention that now. You're in any of your marketing activities, whether it's networking, whether it's writing articles, whether it's advertising, and so on. You're looking to get people to raise their hand, to take some kind of initial first step, which will separate them from the crowd so you can then begin to develop a relationship with them, and then they'll say, they'll become clients. And the way you're going to do that is by targeting specific messages to very specific kinds of people. So if you're just advertising interior design, you'll get some calls. But if you're focusing your message much more to people, say, again, we haven't yet zeroed in on it, but I think we can see the direction here. I just want to show you how to apply it. But let's say that people who are, we need to move. We found something that we think would be perfect, but it requires significant structural changes, and we're just scared. We're afraid to commit without knowing. We need somebody to help us feel confident that we can make this move. So the message is, what do you do? I help people who need to move. They found what they're looking for, but they're scared because it requires significant structural changes, and they're not sure that the project will succeed. Something like that. Now, that's very focused, and it may not apply to all that many people. So you may need to come up with something a little bit broader, depending on how you're promoting it. But if you're promoting it, let's say through the web or through the internet, in a way that doesn't cost you that much, and you can put together. A little white paper or tip sheet or something, or do a teleseminar like this where you're promoting it to people you know, through your networks of agents and so on, where you can do a teleseminar on what's involved in the various stages of, you know, what's involved in most reconstruction projects. You understand what I'm saying? And you have a very clear message.
Now, try to make them, in a sense, not be scared just by providing them the information so that they know what's going to be going on. Meaning that's not trying to get them. Right now, it's not, I can call it marketing, but not trying to make a sale, rather just present this information to people so that they'll be what?
So that they're separating themselves from the crowd so you can begin a conversation with them. Because if, let's say you do offer some kind of teleseminar, they're going to raise their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they hear about it from, and I know you that you know many real estate agents. If the real estate agents just promote it to their client lists, and people come and register and decide to sign up, there's probably a reason that they're interested. And then you know you build it as part of your system. I mean, that, and then that leads into the system. So you build this is a multi-step system. So someone raises their hand, and they need to develop trust with you. And then they need to feel like you really understand and get their needs and wants and fears and so on. That's the third level. The fourth level is they say, because you really get me, what do you recommend? And then you recommend and close the deal. And then the final step is some kind of back-end sales. Now, I imagine people are not coming to you every week for a redesign, but it could be referrals or check-in every 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever the cycle is for such things.
Mm-hmm.
Or provide additional products or services that they could use. Okay. Was this helpful? I know we didn't fully...
Yes. I mean, what you're saying is be very, very specific about the problems which can be solved and then use this marketing, whatever I guess you'd call it, this formula to like you said, just to create the interest, and then it's going to take another step from there before we actually get anywhere.
Right. Because... the hardest work in marketing usually is identifying the right prospects, getting those leads, getting people to step out of the crowd, raise their hand and say, hey, I might be a good client for you. And the way you do that is by talking to the specific worries that they have, the specific problems that they have. Now, in your case, you can come up with 5 or 7 or 8 or 10, most people can, and every month you can promote something else. You can promote a different message, which will attract a slightly different type of potential client.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, this teleseminar, is, by the way, which I only promoted to people who are already subscribers of my list. So it's a bit of a closed thing, but that's because I'm really looking. You know, I have certain. This is whatever. It's part of a whole system I'm developing, but it's part of what was I going to say? So you develop different messages. Oh, yeah, so today's is about how to develop a simple, compelling sales message. That's very focused. It took me, I'm embarrassed to say, it took me years to come to understand that that's a good thing, not a bad thing. If I was talking, you know, there are other topics I could talk about, and I could have made it more broad, how to grow your business, or, and nobody would show up. But I did manage to attract people who are interested, who feel like I need to better express what I do because I'm not getting the right response when I talk about what I do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And again, you can follow up on the forums. My pleasure. So I just want to thank everybody for joining us today. So thank you, everybody, for participating, for joining us. We went a little over time, and but I'm sure those of you, I hope that if you're still on the call, you found it to be worthwhile. Thank you. Have a really good day. Have a good day. Bye.